Okay. I think Bernice is not back, right? I just walked in. Okay. Well, I want to thank John, and I also want to, on behalf of Louis as vice chair of the technology committee, I want to thank everyone for coming to the technology committee session. And it's not over yet, gang, because as I said, we have another item of low vision, of interest to low vision technology users. And then, and remember this, there is the business meeting of CCCLV, which you are all required to attend. but right now, what we have is we have Freedom Vision. Freedom Vision is a company that sells a lot of low vision oriented technology, and its proprietor is James McCarthy, whom I think I've known for about 100 years. He used to be with VTech and then with Telesensory, and now has his own company. And he is a low vision person and knows about the whole industry, and has always said that if his product isn't going to work for you, he'll tell you that whether there's another one someplace else that will, which is what we all want, I think. So, James, are you here?
Okay, thank you, Roger, for the introduction, and thank you, Bernice, for the invitation. And yes, Roger and I have known each other for about 100 years. And Freedom Vision is a company that we started in 1999. Okay, so yes, Freedom Vision, we actually founded the company in 1999. We actually specialize in portable video magnifiers, although we also offer a variety of brands of desktop video magnifiers. Some of our products are available nationwide. Other products are just available in the Northern California area. And we do have a showroom in Mountain View. For those of you that are within the range of Mountain View, we have about a 600 square foot showroom of CCTVs available by prior appointment, no charge, for you to come over and see what we have. And of course, we have an 800 number you can call, so again, no charge to call us up and find out what we do have there. But what I've done in the past with the CCLVI meetings or with technology presentations is just to share with you some of the new portable and desktop video magnifiers or features of the portable or desktop video magnifiers that are on the market, just come on the market, or those that may be coming onto the market. So if you have questions, feel free to ask me. As Roger said, I try to be a resource not only for products that we have, but for any portable or desktop video magnifier that's on the market, and try to share with you where you might find that or where you might be able to see one. So some of the ones that I brought just a few today. Does anybody know of a portable video magnifier that you can actually fit into your pocket? They've been calling these pocket-sized video magnifiers for quite some time, but they're too big for my pockets. And what's that called? SenseView?
SenseView, yeah.
Ah, SenseView can't fit into my pants pocket. I got a 30-inch waist. I'm only 5'6 with a 30-inch waist. And SenseView barely fits into my coat pocket and my outside pocket, but it is thinner than most, and it is a 4.3-inch screen. So, but yeah, that comes about as close as you do to. In fact, it may be the only 4.3-inch screen that can fit into my coat pocket. And when it fits into my pants pocket, it really bulges. Anyone else heard of another one? There's one called SmartView Pocket. That one is small. It weighs 4.9 ounces. Okay, that one's been on the market for almost a year now. It's one of the video magnifiers that's actually coming from a supplier in mainland China. So it comes from a supplier in Guangzhou. Although it's sold globally under the Humanware, when the U.S. it's under the Humanware. Internationally, it's under Pulse Data International's exclusive brand. But it is made directly by a company in mainland China. That iView, yes. iView is a 1.8 inch, although the brochure says it's a 2 inch LCD screen. And that is pretty small. It's sort of like a handheld magnifier, weighs about 4.5 ounces. The magnification range is 5 to 20 times. It does zoom, but that's the problem for most people with an iView, is that it's a 1.8 inch screen. It's marketed as a 2 inch, so people don't think it's 18 inches. When they put 1.8 inches on the brochure, people don't see the point and they think it's an 18 inch screen that's portable. Exactly. So we don't fault them for saying it's a 2-inch screen, even though technically it's they're exaggerating by 10% of the screen. But the problem is starting at 5x magnification on a 2-inch screen is too large for most materials. Let's say, take a typical 10-point font to fit even four letters on the screen. But it is a good spotting magnifier that's a video magnifier and the only one that's in its class. So there's several classes of portables, and that iView is in a class of its own, and that is one that does fit in the pocket. So I think we kind of covered pretty much all of the three, let's say two or three iView, being the 2-inch category. The SmartView Pocket, being again like the iView under 5 ounces, that's a 3.5 inch screen. The SmartView Pocket, to set up a stand, it is one of only two portable video magnifiers that has a stand, so it will display at a tilt angle. All of the others are pretty much flat. The Pico, which is a 4.3 inch, it's from Telesensory, but hasn't changed much at all in its design in the last 5 years. That it actually has two pull-out legs. That if you just pull one out, you can actually angle it a bit, but it doesn't have as much of an angle as a SmartView Pocket. And the SenseView also from GW Micro, which is in the same category as a Pico, a 4 or 4.3 inch screen. Pico is a 4 inch. GW Micro is a 4. SenseView is a 4.3 inch. Same thing as a Pico. It does have two legs, and if you only pull out one leg, not both, it can have a slight angle, but the angle is very slight. I can let me get to that after this one new portable. Okay, just so we keep in the path. I have in my pocket a new portable that fits in a pocket, and I just pulled it out of my pocket. And remember, I got the 30-inch waist and only a 30-inch inseam. So I have, my best friend is 6'7". Anything could fit in his pocket. A desktop fits in his pocket. Some of you may know him, Steve Heller. Okay, so what this new product is it's called Mono. Mono meaning hand in Spanish, because it fits in the palm of your hand. The Mono is made in Germany. The actual brand is Reinecker. And I've got it in my hand. The Mono actually has a pull-out stand. So just using my thumb and index finger, I can pull out the Mono stand, so when you are reading, you can actually have it at a tilt angle. And it just takes one step, one action, to pull the stand out. If we compare it to the SmartView Pocket has more of a picture book stand, and it takes 3 or 4 steps to set the stand up. So they made the stand simpler to pull out. The actual hinge that the stand is built with is the same type of a hinge that is used by laptop computers to hold much strong, much larger, heavier monitors. The Mono is a 3.5 inch screen. The Mono is the first video magnifier that came on the market, which, by the way, it just came on the market at the ATIA conference in Orlando near the end of January of this year. It's the first one that came onto the market that actually has continuous zoom magnification. the range is from 2x to 20x. So it also has, from that standpoint, the largest range. And it starts at the lowest level of any video magnifier, and it goes higher than most. I know the GW MicroSense View can go to 22.5. Of course, at that point, you know, it's useful for a spot reading like a two-point font in a business card or the small print on the medicine bottles, which is probably the most important print. But 20 times on a 3.5-inch screen is certainly a lot of magnification. And again, you would use that more for a spot read of a small font. But the continuous zoom range is what is being introduced into the portables now. So we're likely to see more portables coming out with some continuous zoom magnification. Another feature that this, of course, the mono weighs 4.8 ounces. So again, it's in that under 5-ounce category. The design of it, when people just see it, I can ask a sighted person, I can ask a low vision person, I can ask a student at the School for the Blind. In fact, at the CTVH conference about 3 weeks ago, teachers were coming up and students, parents were coming up. I had about 7 portable video magnifiers lined up on a display table. And when they looked at the mono, they said, "Wow, look, a GPS." It actually looks like something you'd find on a shelf at Best Buy in the GPS section. So all it is a screen with a bezel around it. It's a silver and black color. And there's no buttons on the front of the bezel. The buttons are on the left side and the right side. So it sort of does look like a GPS when you just look at it. Which is kind of neat because, you know, again, it doesn't look like a special device. It doesn't look like something strange. It does look like you're just using a GPS. I was using the mono recently on a flight coming back from New York City. The guy sitting next to me watched me read on and off probably for a total of an hour on the flight. And he thought it was really cool. He told me that I'm going to download everything into my laptop now when I, you know, landed. And I said, "No, I was just reading this live." I wish I had an output, but you know, so far none of the portables have any output directly to a computer. A few of them do have an output to a TV if you want to see what the camera is reading on a larger TV monitor. Actually, the Opal from Freedom Scientific does have an output to a VGA monitor rather than a TV. So there are several categories, but this is one of the two 3.5-inch units that is under 5 ounces. It has a simple stand. It is the only one with continuous zoom magnification on the market at the moment. It also can freeze up to 3 images, so it can capture up to 3 images. All of the others only capture 1, which means this one has memory. All of the others, you capture your image, then you release it. It doesn't store it. This one, when you turn it off, it'll actually keep the 3 images that you captured. But what's really neat is companies have been saying, salespeople have been saying for the last 5 years with portable video magnifiers that have a freeze image feature, that you can capture a phone number. You can capture that prescription number. And then you can read it, make your phone call. You know, you can read it. My problem was the size of magnification I need, it won't fit a whole phone number, a whole prescription number, usually doesn't fit on the screen after I capture it and I enlarge it. So what this product has done, again, a first, is it has what's called a scroll mode. You don't use the stand. You actually collapse the stand. You put the unit above the text that you want to capture. And you make it usually as small as you can make it, so you can fit in as wide a field as possible. The mono does have one of the better depths of field and depths of focus, so that you can get a pretty small image and therefore fit more information on this 3.5-inch screen by holding it up 1-inch, 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch, depending on the clarity of the print, the contrast of the print in the paper, etc. And you snap your picture or freeze your image by just pressing in once and releasing the freeze frame button. And that wasn't the button, by the way. and I was thinking that was the champagne you were opening for us, Roger. I was going to end the presentation and start serving. Huh? So what I'd like to describe, let me describe the scroll feature. The battery life, simple answer, 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours, takes 2.5 hours to recharge. So you should answer that one so I don't forget to answer it. By the way, the Smart View Pocket lasts for an hour and a half, so in the 3.5-inch category, this one's got the longest battery recharge time. And by the way, the battery is accessible. The user can actually replace it. The battery should last an average user 3-plus years when we look at the number of recharge cycles that the battery is specified for, but the user does not need to send it in to have it replaced. The battery is easy to remove. It's easy to drop right into place. There's a little trick on how to put the battery door back. But once you do it once or twice, it's easy after that. The good thing is you only have to do it once every 3-plus years. By that time, you'll probably buy a new one, right? how the scroll feature works is once you capture the image that you want, you size it up because you can change the magnification once it's captured or frozen. You can change the image color, black on white, white on black. It also has a green on black, yellow on black, or yellow on blue. Then, now when you enlarge it, for the size that it takes for me to see it, the whole phone number is no longer on the screen. So how do I read it? Well, this is where the scroll feature comes in. They've taken this technology from digital mouse technology. You just hold the freeze frame button in, put the mono over text material. Doesn't have to be the same text that you froze. Just any text. It just needs to see contrast. So you can't just hold it up at you and focus it out somewhere in the distance and do it. It needs to see some contrast. So put it over text and just move it in the direction that you want to read. Left or right. If you want to go back to the beginning of the line, move it left. If you want to read across the line, move it right. Just like you're reading text. If you want to go up to the first line, then move it up. If you want to go down to read your last line, move it down. And the text actually scrolls. It's a little bit jumpy, because it doesn't have a lot of memory going on in here. But you can kind of smooth it out by your movement. I've learned to smooth it by my constant movement. In other words, you get to know the pace that it jumps at. And if you kind of move it at that pace, then it moves rather smoothly. But it's the only one that actually has the capability of enlarging the captured image beyond the size of the screen and still being able to access it. So I suspect some other companies may begin to look at this feature. So this has a few interesting features. So we do have a table here at the conference for tomorrow and Saturday. So if you want to come by, you might want to take a look at this one. I'll just pass it around just so you can feel it. We'll just start here and you can, let's see. Are you both visually impaired or low vision total? Oh, no problem, no problem. I can't see you in the back, so shout at me too. I can't see you in the front even. Beyond the first row, I can't see you. Oh, price tag on the mono. Good point. You can tell I'm not the greatest salesman in the world, huh? $795. So it's comparable to most of the others on the market, yet it has some good features. The lightweight, the tilt stand, the continuous zoom magnification, the scroll feature. Oh, I can go ahead. All right, here's the other side here. Here you go. Hi.
Coletta.
How are you, Coletta?
Hi.
Long time no see. That's the Looky. The Looky is a 3.5-inch screen as well. The Looky has a handle. Yeah, and the Looky's bigger. Looky is 7 ounces, thicker. Yeah. The dimensions of the mono is it's 2.9 inches, let's say high, when it's on, sitting on the tilt stand, 3.5 inches wide, and 0.8 inches thick. So it is thin. That it can even fit in my shirt pocket. Oh, writing capability. Question here about writing capability. Actually, the mono is one of the, because of the built-in stand and how much it tilts, if you turn it sideways, it actually offers one of the better or more accessible writing capabilities. Most of the portables, well, all of the portables, the writing is not very convenient, difficult, and sometimes impossible because of the angle. It just doesn't give you much angle to put your pen point under it. But the mono actually has quite a bit of clearance. So I would say it's probably in one of the top two or three when it comes to having enough room to, for you to write, you know, without, you know, having to bump your pen as you're pushing the magnifier along. Good questions. There was a question that I put off earlier from the back. You recall your question? I'm over 50. I have short-term memory loss. We dropped it, and it still works. It's on carpet. Let me just describe the buttons. If you hold it so that there's two buttons on the left side, one big button on the right side. Button on the lower left is your on and off.
Okay, just hold it down.
Yep, just hold it down for a second and it turns on. Same thing to turn it off. The button in the upper left is your freeze. Press it to freeze the image. Then you push it up one time to release the image. If you want to click through the three images, then you push it down and it'll click through the three images. The button on your right, press it in to change the image color. Push it up. And you don't feel a lot of upward or downward movement. It's on a spring. So push it up to zoom it up. Push it down to zoom it down. Exactly. Yeah, it does have a good depth of field as well. You don't have to pull the stand out. You can just look at it with lifting and holding it a little above the paper. It will not focus when it's directly flat on the paper. There's no light. So it'll just be a blank dark screen. Yep, the button on the right side, the side with a single button, push it up to zoom up, push it down to zoom down. And again, it's not really moving a lot, it's just a spring button. I think there's a question earlier, was it about something about a mouse type of a product, if I recall? Oh, wireless. Mm-hmm. Actually, Reinecker, there's only one product I'm aware of on the CCTV market that uses a wireless technology. And that's a, let's see, I can't remember the name of the product. It has a handle. It has a screen in the lens section. And it does have about three magnification levels. So think of it as like a large coil magnifier. Then it has a transmitter. So if you want to connect it to a TV or a computer monitor, then you have to buy the transmitter, which is like a $495 item. And you can have your transmitter and wirelessly it can work with a monitor, which means that you can use it with any monitor. And that's the convenience of having a transmitter. Right. So you don't need a cable connection. The product is available through the LS&S catalog. Yeah, so if you're looking for that product, it's, the name is escaping me, but it's in the LS&S catalog. And it is made by Reinecker, the same company that makes the mono. And it's the only one that is using a wireless transmitter to transmit the video from a camera, CCTV camera, onto a monitor screen. Reinecker, Germany. You got that German optical quality, yes. But for the mono, Freedom Vision is the national distributor for the mono. So you may get them from various sources around the country. Here locally, you can get them from us. But people in other states will likely get them through other sources, although they can get it direct from us as well. But when they get them from other sources, all of them will have originated through us. We're the importer of the mono. LS&S is the importer of other products from Reinecker. A product that used to be known as MiniViewer, any of you remember Telesensory MiniViewer? That was a Reinecker-made product, and it is now known as MaxLoop, MaxLupe, or as we say in Spanish here in California, MaxLupe. but in German, MaxLoop. Used to be under the name in the U.S. under Telesensory Miniviewer. So that's another product from Reinecker. Reinecker is probably the best quality CCTV made in the world as far as a desktop. But you don't see it in the U.S. because it's too expensive. So no one wants to import it. It's usually about $600 higher than any other comparable model by you know, Enhanced Vision, Optilec, but it's great quality from the XY table to the image quality, but because of pricing, no one's importing it. Yeah, they're going to have to merge technologies at some point with these portable devices, so it's probably coming. I can tell you about another product. It's going to be sold through Humanware. It's called Versa Plus. There's a Versa model. There's a Versa Plus. Thank you. The unit's been returned to the front. The Versa is a 4.3-inch, 7-ounce. So it's as far as the 4.3-inch size screens, it's the lightest of them. And 7-ounce unit feels a little plasticky. When you lift it up, it's like, this plastic, if I drop this, you know, it's going to break even if I drop it on carpet like the mono just dropped. So you do have that feeling. I don't know if it's going to break or not, but you get that feeling. But the Versa is, it's pretty much just a... another Me Too product in the 4.3-inch category, or the Versa model. The Versa Plus is different. The Versa is going to sell for $795. So again, it's right in the ballpark with most of the others and similar features. The Versa Plus is in a category of its own. Again, it's a 4.3-inch screen, but it has a built-in MP3 player, so you can listen to music. It has an audio output. You can listen to music. It has an output capability or an input capability where if you have a DVD player, you can connect the video input so that, quote, you can watch the video on the 4.3-inch screen. Interesting concept. I know I can't see much of a video on a 4.3-inch screen, but interesting concept. It's got a 5-hour battery if you just turn it on and leave it on continuously, for example, for reading, which is its primary design purpose. So it doesn't have any longer of a battery than the SenseView or the Quick Look Zoom. So it's a 5-hour battery for 4.3-inch category product. And I guess it kind of doesn't matter, isn't it? You know what it's doing. It's pretty much going to last for 5 hours, whether you're playing music from it, because it's got a built-in MP3 player, which the screen is on anyway, even when you're just playing music. They need to come up with the capability of shutting that screen off, which I think they probably will. They got that feedback a few weeks ago at a conference. And that might give it some extra life if you're just using it for music. As far as playing a DVD into it, since the screen's going to be on and the LCD screen is the main energy hog, then it's probably going to get back to its 5-hour battery. So it does have a built-in MP3 player, and it does have a video input, so you can play a DVD on it. $925. So you're starting to see them put some additional capabilities into these portable video magnifiers. As far as speech is concerned, that's a little bit beyond my pay grade to know how to do that or what it takes or who's working on it. I personally don't think anybody's working on it at the moment, but I think... you know, there's probably some consumer technology out there. They might be able to get a chip and just pop a chip in at some point. With a USB. Well, I'll mention that to some of the companies. Because I am in communication with about 8 different companies. And they think I'm nuts that I'm always sending them ideas. Versa and Versa Plus is Humanware. It's distributed in the U.S. through Humanware. It's a product that's made in China, but Humanware has the global rights to the product. So there's actually two Chinese makers that are from mainland China, one in the south in Guangzhou and another out of Beijing. The other Chinese supplier actually out of Beijing is a company called AUMED, A-U-M-E-D. The term AU stands for gold. It's like the Latin for gold. It's the it's one of the abbreviated terms in chemistry for gold. So it's Gold Medical. Now, they're actually a company that for 10 years they've been in the optometric and ophthalmic equipment field, importing, and they actually make a product or two in that field. Now they're getting into low vision. And they have a product called IQ, EYE-Q. It's a 4.2-inch screen unit. It covers all the basics. It has 4 to 15 times magnification in four levels. It has freeze frame, color, black, white, white on black. So it's not a frills unit, but it's priced at $595. So this company has a lower end unit. So it's the probably the least expensive 4.2-inch, 4.3-inch category video magnifier, giving you all the basics. And it has a good image. They've come up with their own term called anti-blur technology. They're trying to trademark it. They've trademarked it in China. They trademarked the name. They're trying to apply for a patent as well. And if they're successful, then they'll try and get trademarks and patents in other countries. But it does have a good image. The image would be equivalent to a Nemo, which is regarded as having one of the better quality images. So at $595, this is one of the bargain products. And you'll probably be hearing this company, AUMED, because I understand from the general manager and the three owners in China that they... I speak reasonable Mandarin Chinese now and then. So I understand from them that they have a series of new low-vision products that they're working on. They have quite a large engineering staff in Beijing. You've seen it? Oh, okay. So, the mono, yes. The mono is, as a lot of people have told me, they just want to put it in their pocket. Can I put it in my pocket and just leave? yeah, it's a bottle that you can fall in love with very quickly. And it does have a sharp image. So, you know, for those of you that had vision, it has a sharp image on the mono. Another portable product, and it's kind of a new technology, is from Optilec. By the way, at the recent CSUN conference, this product is called FarView. It was introduced in late fall of 2008 by emails and promotions, but no one really saw it until the ATIA conference at the end of January, and it began shipping in early February. And at the CSUN conference, there is a video, actually, video segment on KABC Los Angeles News. Unfortunately, it aired a week after CSUN. But if you know, ever search for it and go on it, I'm actually in the video. Yeah, I got some FaceTime. It's another one of my 15 minutes of fame that I've used up in my life. I think I only have about three minutes left. It's pretty bad. I'm only 51. I got to pray for a few more minutes here. But what the FarView, and I'm holding, there's a picture of me holding the FarView in the actual headline picture when you go to the video segment. Of course, you have to know what I look like to recognize me. The FarView, there's three portable video magnifiers. All of them are 4.3-inch screens that have some sort of near, intermediate, or far distance, although nothing is really far that, you know, with any clarity or that most low-vision people could make out. The three products are the Quick Look Focus, which has a near distance. So, of course, you can put it flat on the paper and read close up, or you can focus at about 3 or 4 feet for most things that you might want to see. If all you want to do is focus on print, like something that's tacked on a wall, on a corkboard on a wall or a hallway, you need to be within about 8 inches to read something like that, 8 to 10 inches. If it's if you want to read the sports scores on TV or the ticker at the bottom of the news channels, it can work for most people from about 3 or 4 feet away, but about no more than that. So I'll give you an idea of a couple of applications that the Quick Look Focus might work for that's near distance. The other product that has been on the market is the GW Micro SenseView Duo. And that unit also has, well, it has two cameras. The Quick Look Focus operates with only one camera. The SenseView Duo, by the name Duo, it merely means it has two cameras, one near or close up. So when you're reading flat on the paper, you use the close-up camera. For distance, you would lift it up, you'd switch to the distance camera. It has a blind spot in about the first three and a half feet. Then beyond that, it begins to focus. It doesn't have as bright or contrast an image as the Quick Look does, Quick Look Focus does. And the color mode, sometimes it's not very apparent what the color is. There's no additional light for the distance camera, but it is somehow making a compensation for the lack of light. But I haven't been very successful using it myself, but it does have more what I call intermediate distance focusing, so it's different than the Quick Look Focus, which does not have intermediate distance. It only has near distance. Now, the FarView is a different product. It's a different animal altogether. It also is a 4.3-inch screen. It weighs less than 10 ounces. But this one, you can it's like a camera. You're actually snapping the picture. And you snap the picture at a reduced level, below a 1x magnified image, or 1x normal image. So you're snapping the picture, and then you're recalling the picture from memory, and then you're manipulating it and navigating. And you can snap up to 100 pictures in memory. You can also, through kind of a USB connection, you can download it into a laptop or a desktop computer. So a student could take some images at school of a whiteboard, let's say, then they could download it as a JPEG file into their laptop, clear the memory in the FarView, and they're ready for the next day. The FarView, actually, I've done things with it, like read a menu when I go to recently I was in the Atlanta airport, and the only place that I found open, Wendy's was closed. The only place I found open was Atlanta, what was it called, Atlanta Bread Company or something like that. It's pretty famous there. It's a deli, and there were about 12 people in line because it was the only place open at 11:45 in the evening. And I said, wonder what I'm going to eat here. I know it's a deli by the name Bread. You know, they make their own bread, so I'll probably throw some meats on there. And I was going to ask somebody, hey, can you tell me what sandwiches they have? Instead, I said, 12 people in line, I got time. I'll take out the FarView, see if I can read the menu. So from about, well, I cut up in line a little bit. From about six people back, I was able to take a picture of the menu, go back to my spot in line, and scroll through the image. And the way you scroll through the image, once you magnify it, is there's a cursor cross. You know, at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, there's a cursor cross. And that's how you can take the magnified image and you can move to the top of the picture, scroll to the right, scroll back to the left, go move down. So you just use your cursor cross keys. And that's how you access this huge image through this little 4.3-inch window or screen of the FarView. Yep. So if you want to read across the line, you press the right scroll button, and it just starts scrolling across. And it's quite smooth as you're scrolling. You can actually go into a menu feature, and you can set the scroll speed. So it never scrolls really slow. It never scrolls really fast. But you can set your scroll speed, and it scrolls smoothly. No, this is just the images are stored as pictures, and so it doesn't have any speech recognition of the photograph that you took. The price of the FarView is $1,495. The SenseView Duo and the Quick Look Focus are both, well, SenseView Duo is $995. The Quick Look Focus is $1,049. Yep, SenseView Duo is $995, the Quick Look Focus $1049, and the FarView is $1495. The only other one that I want to mention, because it's kind of a neat feature, is the new Optolite ClearView Plus. The new Optolite ClearView Plus.
Sorry, Jim.
Oh, no problem. Yep, go step to your right. The the new Optolite ClearView Plus, the 19-inch and the 22-inch models, it has, well, they put a new Rayon chip in it, which gives it a boost in contrast and image stability. So you don't have any interlacing at all going on. And it really is the only desktop CCTV model that has no interlacing, other than models that use an HD camera. The models that use an HD camera are generally about $600 more than the regular model, and only two manufacturers have an HD model out on the market now, Optolite being one of them. So this Rayon technology camera chip is not HD, so it's in the normal category, like a 19-inch LCD model might be $2,995, which is a competitive price compared to any of the other brands. But one neat feature is they have an ultra-flexible arm. They custom made an arm that the monitor sits on. And how a lot of low-vision people might lean in or lean forward, you know, even though you're magnifying the image, you still have this tendency to lean forward to see some things. You can actually pull the monitor out toward you, so you don't have to lean forward. And so that's a neat low vision feature. So that's the only one, and I'll have the ClearView Plus out. Another feature of this ultra-flexible arm, by the way, is you can actually, usually the 22-inch screen is a landscape, so it's a wide screen. But you can actually tilt the screen so it's more portrait style. And it was originally designed for the Japan market to read vertical characters. But people have found some applications, like looking at a column of numbers, accounting, math formulas in school. They're normally short lines of formula. So there are that other capability is rather unique. When you flip the screen, the image goes with it. So it's not, the image isn't somehow, you know, at a 90-degree angle. The image actually flips with the screen when it flips. Right, exactly. Okay, I'll be here the next couple of days. You have more questions, want to know some other new things in the market, either I'll have them, or I can, if you just have time, you want to come up, I can chat with you and let you know what else I know that's new in CCTVs. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I always enjoy when James comes because he really brings us up to date on what's out there, and he really knows his products well. I want to thank James, and I also want to thank Roger for all their extra help. I had a little accident yesterday, and I'm not functioning very well. Donna, are you up here?
Donna's not, but I am.
Okay. Donna, are you coming forward too? I need a secretary and a treasurer. Okay. Okay, I want to get started, and I know some of you were going to pay some dues at the convention, so we're receiving those before you leave today at 5:30, and if you have them with you, and if you are not a member and would like to become a member, Donna and I are both prepared to help with signing you up as a member, and hey, James. We would like to have you as a member so you can get our Vision Access magazine and keep in touch and send us things to put in the Vision Access magazine about technology for low vision people. It's $15 a year. And by the way, James, I go to my doctor's office there that's in Suite 110, right where you are. I wanted to say that you're on the high rent side of the street. You're on the Los Altos side. It took Roger and me about 2 years to figure out why the numbers were different on the other side of El Camino. You did? Where are you now?
We were in Suite 118,
as you know.
We moved to the same building.
Oh, okay. Oh, the old television. Uh-huh. Okay.
So the director put a song on the
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, I want to keep up with your street address because I still do give out your name to people. Okay. Let's see. I wanted to welcome everyone that's here. Could we quickly go around the room and say who's here? Now, we have some wireless microphones, but...
She's only here in body. Diane Deutsch.
Hi, Diane. Oh, glad you're here.
Penny Valdivino.
Hey, Penny. I love your email address. Yeah, she's Pen Candy.
Jane Cardis.
For those who used to be able to buy candy for a penny.
Coletta Davis.
Anybody else?
James McCarthy.
Yeah. Is that it? Donna, okay. Yay. And Donna Sanchez, we have two Donnas, okay.
And Susan Hyatt.
Hey, Susan. Thank you. Thank you for running the mic, Susan. I guess I did that backwards. I was thinking... I'm telling you, I'm not thinking.
Join the crowd, Bernice.
Okay. I guess I was thinking in that at our last convention, there were only four people that stayed for the business meeting, so we didn't have a business meeting. So there are no minutes from our last meeting. So Susan is here taking minutes for this meeting. So I will now ask our treasurer, just got back from Paris. And so he emailed a treasurer's report to our former treasurer, Donna Sanchez, who will do that now. Donna, do you have a microphone? Or this one doesn't go very far.
Okay, you're going to have to bear with me. I have laryngitis. Good thing the report is low. This is very short. The beginning balance is, as of 11/1/08 is $3,637.08. Dues is $709.
That's income, yeah. Right.
Donations is $45. Lifetime members, he has zero. Miscellaneous is zero. And expenses is $50. And ending balance is $4,341.08. But I know that I wrote a check to the National for $550, wasn't it, Bernice?
Mm-hmm.
And he did not add that on to it. And he told me that there's 52 paid members. That's my report.
Do I hear a motion to accept the treasurer's report? Okay.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Questions and discussion? Okay, all those in favor of accepting the treasurer's report as read, say aye.
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 Those opposed? And any abstentions? Okay, I want to bring you a little further up to date. As Donna said, there was a check written since the treasurer's report was actually cut off for the $550, which meant that we had 55 members that paid dues, plus we had another 12 life members. In California, we happen to have 22 life members, but only 12 of them joined this year, which has been about standard for every year, about approximately 12 of the 22 join. So our total membership into CCLVI is 67. However, in California, we count those other 10 people, so we had 77 members into the California Council of the Blind. We pay a flat $50 fee into CCB. So no matter how many members we have. And we try to recruit those other 10 people to join us. We want them to get the California information, et cetera. Okay, Treasurer's Report. So that's the rundown on the membership report. I hope all of you are receiving your Vision Access magazine and that it's in the format of your choice. And if you need to change formats, please call the 800 number for CCLVI, and we'll be glad to do that. We are now starting to offer an audio CD and a data CD. So if you would prefer one of those formats, please let us know. You know, cassettes are drying up, and pretty soon we won't have that as an option, not by choice. And so any of you who we do offer it in large print and email, audio CD, data CD, and cassette. That those are our current formats. So like I say, if you want to change a format, call me, and I'll be glad to do that for you. Okay, let me see. I had a little agenda here. I had old business, and Diane Deutsch, I'm sorry, I dropped the ball on this. Diane had volunteered to help get our Chronicle going, and I need to... I need to give you a little boost on that, and then I'd like, you know, I'd be glad to do the printing part if you can do, you know, the coordinating the text of it. I have a printer that oftentimes when I go to her, she won't give me a bill. She's very nice. She, I've been very fortunate in the area where I live to develop some really nice relationships with the business community. And she had a brother and a sister that had multiple sclerosis. And, you know, if I can't buy blind, if you know what I mean by that, you know, shop, use a person that's a blind business person, then I shop disability. And so that's why I went to her. I've used her for years and years, but in recent times she has just said there's no charge. And pardon? No, I'm in Mountain View, California. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got your new address. And yes, whenever you move, please call the 800 number and give me a change of address. I get these messages from Sharon Lovering in the ACB office. They're called slovering movers when people move. But by time she sends me a slovering mover, if we send out a Vision Access or something else, then we have to pay, because we put address services requested on there, and we have to pay for that when they forward your publication to you. So it would be really helpful. Yes. That's okay. No, I didn't get one for you, but somebody was getting both cassette and large print, and so I had to pay twice for them. Yes, you're getting email and large print. I left you on the large print, and there's Stevie headache.
There's a storage problem with that, but when I listen to it, it's nice to be able to have a hard copy and
mark things that I understand that, and since it doesn't cost for the email, I understand how people's vision works. It fluctuates from minute to minute and hour to hour, and you don't have longevity, and you may not be in your favorite place to use the proper lighting or whatever, and if you need accommodation by getting two formats, I try to do that. That's good. The low vision doctors are great too, because I like them to. Most of them want the email, but I leave them on the large print because I want them to put it in their waiting room, and so other people can see our publication. So that was one piece of old business. Where am I now? No, blueberry pomegranate green tea.
Oh, that sounds good.
It is good. I love that from Trader Joe's. Oh. Yes, wonderful. I was writing in. Oh boy, Bernice, you're just not with it. Okay, now. Oh, under, oh, wait a minute, did I? Okay, I think the Chronicle was the only thing under old business. And so Diane, you and I need to get together now that we're past this big crunch and we'll be in a, I'll be in a little bit of a lull between now and July. I hope to that we can get that going because I think it would be a really good thing. By the way, for those of you who don't know about something called AIRS LA, that stands for Audio Information Reading Service, Los Angeles. And Dr. Bill Takeshta, who has talked with our group on a number of occasions, and last fall he gave a good talk on lighting. He's involved with that, and he asked if he could try putting our Vision Access up there as another option for people to access the publication. And so we're going to try that and see how that works. So moving into new business, that sort of is a transition into yes? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so are Roger and I. Thank you, James. Roger and I haven't really gotten. We just got. They just asked us fairly recently to be on the board, and we haven't because they're down there and their board meetings are down there. We haven't been able to participate as much as we need to, but we're going to work on that. And it is. He's got some incredibly large number of documents up there that people can access that you wouldn't elsewise be able to get in a very accessible format. He's actually he calls himself totally blind because he just has very little light perception. And for the, I'll tell you, James, we would love to have you join us on this also. Anybody here? We have now started something called Let's Talk Low Vision with Dr. Bill. And this is on the phone. And you call into a toll-free number at a prescribed time and put in the code. And it's Dr. Bill, and he answers all the questions that you want to talk about. We did our first one on the 17th of March, and our next one will be the 21st of April. And you call in on 866-633-8638. And then it asks you for an ID. And what we did was we made it Dr. Bill. It has to be at least six characters, so that's what fits. So Dr. Bill is 372-455. And the call-in time is at 5:30 Pacific. And I would, you know, everybody's welcome. It's a free service to the low vision community. And we don't know what direction we're going to go with it yet. It will, by people calling in, we'll try to figure out, you know, what your needs are and try to meet those needs. That's the goal on that. Dr. Bill Takeshta, and it's Takeshita. Have you? And he is director of optometric services at the Center for the Partially Sighted in Los Angeles. He's a busy man, and he is really gung-ho CCLVI, and to that end, he wants to recruit members. He's personally recruiting a lot of low-vision doctors for our group, and the other thing he wants us to help us do is raise funds for a scholarship program. So I'll talk about that in just a moment, but let me talk about this other issue first. I personally have an interest in this, and I have wanted our CCLVI parent organization to do something on this, and they haven't. What I would really, so I thought, well, maybe we should start it and get it going, and maybe what we do could be adopted by CCLVI. You know, some countries have been doing a lot about large print fonts, and I would like us to somehow come up with a policy from our organization as to the top three preferred fonts for that can be put in any kind of print, you know, print size, 16 point, 18 point, whatever. I just learned that CTEVH, there's one of their members, is putting out a little brochure of some sort that tells transcribers what low vision fonts are best, and their number one choice is Times New Roman.
Wow.
Yes, yes, and this is what they're providing to students in school.
That's the worst thing you can have, because they're thick and they're thin. I'm a reading specialist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Arial is probably the best.
People, well, right. People either love Arial or they hate it. There's no middle of the road.
Why do they not like it?
I love.
There's somebody in the back, I think, that doesn't care for it. Could you tell me what? Hmm?
Why don't is, they like it?
Wait a minute. Donna, are you back there? No, she's back there.
Oh,
tell she's one that doesn't care for Arial. Would you tell us why you don't like Arial?
Arial, for me, is very
in Arial.
Uh-huh. I haven't ever used that. I'll try it.
What's the one? What's she
use?
Verdana.
What about Tahoma? Have you used Tahoma?
No, but that's one that we've been considering. And so,
like
so. Now let me tell you, our CCB brochure is done in a font that they use for publishing. It's called Futura, and F-U-T-U-R-A. And if you look at our CCB brochure, it is very clean and easy to read, and it is 16 point. Whereas if you know, with how do I say this? Some fonts. Some fonts, you know, in 16 point, they vary in size from one to the other, that is what I believe we will be using for the website, because it's a nice, very crisp, clean, well spaced. I don't know what you call that spacing, the horizontal spacing, but the vertical spacing is the leading, the space between lines, you know. And we need white space so we can see the shapes of the words. And, oh, that leaves me, oh, I remember something. That leaves me the shapes of the words. You know, I can oftentimes see the first letter and the last letter of the word if it's in Arial, but I can't see the letters in between. And you know, sometimes it could be one thing or another. It could, yeah, they're too close together side to side. And so, anyway, I would like people, so Diane, would you volunteer to be on this committee?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, is there anybody else? And James, even though you're not yet a member, would you like to serve on that?
No.
Done? No? Okay. Okay. Penny wants to serve? Okay. And Donna Sanchez? What about Donna Pomerantz?
I'm
Well, you have a good opinion.
Well, I'm ex officio, and I'll be glad to work with you guys.
Can I actually ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Sure. What's the time commitment? Well, I think we can be sort of laid back about it, but I would like us to have somewhat, maybe a little, do a little investigation before July, and I don't know that we would have a final answer, but maybe we could. What I would like to see us do is that other countries have done things about this. There's been stuff come out from England and from Canada and other places, and what I'd like us to do is start gathering all that data into one place, and then maybe at our fall convention we could conduct a little survey of and see what people like. But
you need a paragraph. The same paragraph,
yeah, in all the samples.
In the response that we've mentioned,
yeah.
Which are more comfortable, and just have people vote. Well, why don't we just take it to our councils and have the people in our councils?
Sure.
Rather than the convention, you don't
sure.
have that many people come, but if you took it to our
sure.
council and gave it to the members who are low vision,
uh-huh.
I'm Phil Kenny, and I are both members of the Greater Bakersfield Council,
mm-hmm.
and I'm also a member of the Redwood Empire Council.
Okay.
We have a lot of members.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. That aren't members. Yeah. My whole goal is to just get it moving forward, because I've been talking about it for years and nobody's, you know, been willing to pick up on it. And I think we need to say that CCLVI's policy in large for a font and print and font size is. And I want to also tell you that the American Council of the Blind contracted with someone to do I always get the name of it, Alternate Formats Guide, and it's on the ACB website, www.acb.org. And I think we need to look through there at what it says about low vision things in various categories and see if we agree with them or we don't agree with them. For instance, something that I do agree with, it recommends that the type font be 18-point bold. And you know, even though 14-point is the letter of the law to qualify for free matter privileges with the post office, that doesn't mean that we as consumers need to settle for that.
It's not big enough.
18-point? 14. Yeah, 14 is not big enough. I agree.
I use a 36-fold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think anything smaller than that is even large.
Yeah. I think Pat Beatty uses 48-point, isn't it, Coletta? But, yes, and so, you know, I know it's hard to find something to fit everybody's situation, but maybe we could do like they're doing with lighting for certain eye conditions, like for uveitis, they want you to go more toward the yellow spectrum, and for a macular degeneration and other things, they want you to go more toward the pink or the red spectrum, and that sort of thing. Maybe we can say, maybe we want to make it in tiers and say for people whose vision is in this range, that this might be the best one. Because, you know, you have to think about if a person doesn't have central vision and has peripheral vision, one thing works. But if a person has, like my friend in Buffalo, New York, she has 2 degrees of vision. We're sitting at a table in a restaurant in a hotel, and she's looking out the window, and she's reading signs across the street.
Isn't that disgusting?
But she uses a guide dog because when it comes to mobility, it's a whole different, you know,
yeah,
ball of wax.
Well, in your church, you can't see. What
yeah,
you
yeah, exactly. So, okay, so Susan, you got that in the minutes as to who Penny read. Penny Valdevitas, Pen Candy over there, and Diane Deutsch, and Donna Pomerantz, and Donna Sanchez. And I'll work with the group, huh? Penny Valdovinos, V-A-L-D-O. Yeah, V-A-L-D-O. No, V as in Victor.
Oh,
A-L-D-O. I hope I got it spelled right, Penny. It's and then V-I-N-O-S.
Right.
Okay, and then another V. Valdivino. Is there S on the end?
Yeah, there's an S at the very end.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's Diane.
It's Penny Valdivinos, and Diane...
V-I-A-N.
Say again. V-I-N-O-S. Well, V-I-N-O-S. And then...
V-I-N-O-S.
And the other one is Diane Deutsch, and then you've got the two Donnas. Okay. Thank you for being willing to work on that, because I think we can really move something about that. We do have some money in our treasury, but if we want to get into doing scholarships, we need to do a fundraising project. And the local chapter in the Mountain View did a tea party, and Donna Sanchez designed the invitation. It was a poem that somebody else had written, and Donna put the artwork to it and laid it out in nice great big print. And we did it on yellow paper, and we had yellow envelopes, bright yellow, so that when they came in the mail, they sort of stood out. And the way we worked it was, we got members of the chapter to give names and addresses of people that we could send these invitations to. And then we got Great Earth to donate tea bags. And what we did was we included a flyer about the chapter. We have our own brochure. CCCLV has a brochure. I should have brought some so that if you didn't have one, I could pass them out. I always forget to bring things. But if anybody wants some CCCLV brochures, call me and I'll be glad to drop some in the mail to you. And we included a return envelope that was pre-addressed back, but we did not put postage on it. And, we had 180 names that were provided that we sent these invitations to. Donna and another person and I, we were slapping stamps and licking and sticking, and but we were a good team and we got the production going. But out of those 180 names, we made $2,200.
How many people came?
No, it you don't come. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't make it clear. A tea party is when you send them the tea bag. It says in the little poem, it says, make your cup of tea, sit under a shade tree at the beach, wherever, and enjoy it. And while you're doing that, write a check and send it in the envelope.
Yeah,
and like I said, $2,200 is not shabby from 180 people.
No.
They were all various denominations that came back. But the point is, they came back. So the only part of this that we need is somebody that would be willing to put the list of names together, print the labels, and then keep track of who sent how much money back. Because we do have to send them at the end of the year. We do have in January. We have to send them. We have a form that we send that they made a donation so that they can use it for IRS.
How much time was that involved?
I don't know. I don't know how fast. A sighted person did the database of the names and addresses. It doesn't have to be a sighted person, is what I'm saying. And so that was the basic time consuming. We during a chapter meeting, we sat there and did all the slapping and sticking and licking.
So, where did you get the name?
From the members of the chapter. There was four of us that were the team.
So
that
probably in the newsletter we would put a newsletter.
Yeah,
please call the hotline and leave a
email us the names and addresses, or if you don't have that capability, send them in print or call and we take them over. I'd be glad to take them over the phone. So it's a matter of collecting that information to print the labels to send out. I guess I'll have to look at my time commitment because I'm taking on another responsibility. I'm trying to get out of them, and here I'm taking on one. But Roger took on a new one, so he couldn't say anything about me taking on a new one. But anyway, I if the group is interested in doing that, if we could, you know, get members, our 77 members in California to donate names, you know, and everybody donates, you know, some people give 20 names and some people give 5 names, and but it all counts up, you know. And we send this out, and it's a cute little poem, we have it at home somewhere, I'm sure, in the computer.
I still have it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think I don't know if we could get it. We can't get it going by May. We did ours in the fall. I think there's two times of the year that's particularly good for something like this, like in the spring when in May. But we actually sent ours the end of October, 1st of November, and that's a time of the year that it's a big donation time. People get a lot of requests for donations and tend to respond to those things. Okay, I'm not watching my watch, so I want to move on here. Do you think so?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got almost 46.
Uh-oh, we've got to go, gang.
And I have.
Okay, thanks, Donna.
After you get your tax return,
mm-hmm. We may want to take until next spring to collect the names, and so maybe we want to shoot for a target for next April 15th. But anyway, I think we could gear up and that we could make some money, you know, a fair amount of money that way. Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry. I intended to get us out of here by 5:30. But the other thing that people have done, which I have never done, but I think is a cute idea, it's a virtual bake sale. You have a little poem that goes along with that. I need to track that down. And what they do is they send a recipe and say, instead of baking stuff and bringing it to the bake sale, you bake your own recipe and send the money. Okay, bye-bye.
I'm going to meet my boss.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk.
Pardon? Oh, I'll take them, Penny. Thank you.
Those are great ideas. I like those. We did a coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Uh-huh.
I coulda, shoulda, woulda. Uh-huh. I coulda donated this. I should have done this. But I couldn't. I coulda, shoulda, and I would have done it, but I didn't have time. I could have baked the cake and brought it to the thing, but I didn't have time. So they give you a donation instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did at church.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my check.
Okay, thank you, Penny. Okay, the one other thing, and I'm just going to plant the seed on this, and if anybody's interested in serving on a little committee that would come up with some ideas, if we do get some monies for a scholarship, I'd like a group to come up with some recommendations as to what kind of scholarship we want to give and how much we want to give. And to that end, I just want to say that CCLVI scholarship program is funded by a member, and he has set up a trust, and we get somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000 a year for scholarships. The board of CCLVI votes every year on what they're going to do, and the last 2 years, this is the third year now, we will be giving $3,000 scholarships, and there is also enough money that we, the last 2 years, were able to stipend the scholarship recipients to the ACB convention for the whole week. We paid their hotel, their transportation, and gave them a per diem for their food. And, you know, that has been so heartwarming for me because I appointed that committee, and that committee has just done great things. One of the things that has occurred as a result of this is that three of those scholarship recipients are now on the board of CCLVI, and all of the rest of them are serving on committees. And that just, you know, that's what it's all about, to perpetuate, you know, because when they come, they feel a part of the CCLVI family, and they want to, you know, work for the organization. Now, the scholarship committee developed an online application for applying for the scholarship, and we are the envy of some other entities because it makes it easier for the people to review the applications. You know, we're all volunteers, and you know, struggling with low vision to read this squiggly little writing and stuff. It makes it so much easier to do it online. And secondly, what really makes me sad, very sad, is that this year there were 272 attempts at an application. 142 of those did not complete their online application. 72 of those completed their online application and did not submit all of their hard copy documentation. But they ended up with 66 completed applications. We have three scholarships for 66 people. So, you know, and there's so many worthy people. And the one other thing I wanted to point out about that is that CCLVI is the only entity I know that does not limit to legal blindness. We go from visual disability category of 20 over 70 down to, you have to, the bottom line is you still have to read print with some, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And that, you know, is a segment that just doesn't exist in any other place out there that I know of. So, you know, there are people that call and they say, darn, you know, they missed the deadline and they don't qualify for me to refer them for a scholarship, like for ACB, because they're not legally blind. So I would like people to come forward, volunteer to be on a committee to think about, you know, how we want to confine the scholarship or how we want to define the scholarship. And right now what they're doing on the national level is they put all of the entering freshmen together, all of the undergraduates together, and all of the graduates together. And But you see, with the online system, the reason the number of completed applications went up from the two previous years of 20-something is that the webmaster has an automated message that gets generated back that when they don't complete it online, and it contains an URL so that they can go right into that particular URL, and they don't have to do what they'd already done. They can just take up from where they left off and finish the application. So there's just so much excitement about how we can handle these scholarships. Any quick announcements from anyone? I really appreciate everybody staying. And can we get the what?
Poem.
Oh yeah. That was one of the things I've been intending to have asked Roger to do, but it just has had to be after this convention. Pardon? No, you know Roger. He's blind, totally blind. But he has to look it up. But, you know, I do women's concerns, and I had to get the room arrangements in for that. And there's just six ways to whenever that all converge right around this time of the year. Not to mention the CCB awards, and, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into. After the selections are made, then they have to write the stuff. Roger helps with the writing of the language for the plaques, and then they go to the engravers, and then we have to pick them up from the engravers and lug them to Sacramento. So, anyway, there's just lots of things that we're involved in doing, and I had to do a publications committee report, and so on and so forth. And, you know, of course, a Vision Access, I didn't get the cassette edition out yet. It'll have to be after this. And we had a Blind Californian come out just before the convention, too. So everything happens at once. Okay, thank you very much. And tomorrow morning, oh boy, I've been told 16 times what we're doing tomorrow morning. But Gina Lozano has lined us up two good speakers for tomorrow morning. And on Saturday morning at 10:30, we're going to have Sue Melrose from Hadley School for the Blind. And there's lots of exciting things going on with Hadley, and she's going to bring us up to date on that. And then we're going to have a mini vendor parade. I know you saw a lot of technology this afternoon, but there's more technology in the exhibit hall, and I'm just going to have them come in for 5 or 7 minutes and just tell you what their new product is, so that you can go look, so that you're aware and you can go look at it in the exhibit hall. And I hope you found James's presentation enlightening. Yeah, James always does such a good job. We appreciate that. Okay, thank you guys.